anyone that's never heard the band before, how would you guys describe it? Because, I mean, you guys have such, you know, wide influences and such, like, a different sound. So how would you guys describe it to people that haven't heard it before?
Well, it's, I guess in a broad way, we describe it as pop rock music. But I think there's, one thing we've said before is that there's sort of a singer-songwriter heart to it. Because this music is, it's our lives and our stories put to a song. And, you know, it's sort of wrapped in the pop rock sound with a lot of keyboards, a lot of guitars, big choruses, and sort of, I guess a lot of anthemic kind of qualities to the music. But at the heart of it, it's stories. It's kind of our struggles and relationships all put to music.
Okay, on your website, you guys talk about your influences a bit, and Pab grew up listening to a lot of the stuff that, you know, I listened to growing up, you know, mid-90s alternative and things like that, and, you know, Chuck, you're from all over the place. I mean, you grew up, you know, in the Philippines and Scotland, and then you came here, so how did you kind of get adjusted to everything and kind of, like, find this, this niche that you have in music?
Well, actually, largely, it's probably due to Pap, actually. Growing up where I was overseas in the Philippines until I was about 8, and then Scotland until I was about 13, I was very sheltered from pop music, really. I mean, no, in the Philippines, we listened to a lot of, like, live music, whether it was at a church or some event or at school or whatever. It was very much just people playing music. We didn't have a lot of recorded music there, actually. So, like, for instance, when I moved to the U.S. when I was about 13, I'd never heard, I kind of missed everything that people here that had grown up, like, in a more modern culture, I guess, were familiar with. I'd never even listened to the Beatles. I had never heard the Rolling Stones or anything like that. I was very sheltered, kind of all growing up from that stuff. So when I moved here, it was just kind of, I very slowly got into stuff. Like, the first album that I got was Green Day's Dookie album.
Good choice.
And I remember that that kind of sparked something in me. Very quickly, I got my first guitar and started a little punk band. And it kind of just sort of went, but it seems like even through college, so even up till recent years, I've been discovering things that many other people my age grew up with or are very, very familiar with. So it's been interesting in the writing process because all of a sudden my writing will just take a sharp turn and you'll just hear this influence come out. Like, for instance, when I first really got into Elton John, I'd never listened to him before. All of a sudden I started getting into his stuff a lot. We didn't record any of those songs. These were some older demos that I did with Pap, but there was all these songs that had very much that kind of Goodbye Yellow Brick Road kind of feel to them almost, like very piano heavy, very influenced by that. Or when Pap kind of introduced me to Depeche Mode, that had a big influence on me. And a song like Still Young was sort of born in some ways out of that Depeche Mode kind of influence. Same thing with like Peter Gabriel and some of these other artists. But she is... I think she is, in a good way, to blame for the influences that Shyrock has, I think. I think she's kind of steered the ship with that.
So, Pat, how did that feel to kind of meet this guy with, you know, this musical talent that had, you know, not really the pop culture kind of influence and, the background that, you know, many modern musicians have? How did that feel to kind of transform him?
I think, first of all, There's so much incredible music, and when you really think about it, you know, modern rock music has really only been around for less than, you know, I guess 80 years or something like that. But even in that time, there's so much music to explore. I don't think, you know, any of us will ever really get to listen to all the great music that's been made, you know, and that you could check out. So there's always like new things to check out and new bands I mean, we were just talking to actually Chuck's dad the other day, and he was making some CDs of like some of his favorite music from the 60s and 70s that, you know, were some bands that we've obviously heard of, but we haven't really like dug deep into their sound and into their music. So I think there will always be new, you know, new bands that are like really great bands that you just haven't had a chance to listen to. But it was kind of fun with Chuck when we started dating that he really didn't have like a blank slate, but I guess just the things that he had been influenced by so far were more like the either really, really pop stuff that had made it all the way to the Philippines or Scotland, or you know, was kind of like ethnic music from, you know, from the Philippines, or like, you know, some of the music that, you know, his friends in Scotland were listening to, which was just kind of all different kinds of stuff. But it was really fun to kind of get to show him all the music that I loved and that had really really influenced me. And, you know, as I was growing up, like, I mean, a lot of those bands were really important, not just to like how I was, you know, formulating as a musician, but also just as a person. You know, some really, really amazing writers and lyrics that had really meant a lot to me, and shows that had meant a lot to me, and all that stuff. So it was really just a lot of fun to kind of, you know, make him mix CDs, mix tapes, or whatever, and get him into different artists. And yeah, I guess we just kind of went on this journey of like exploring these different bands together. And you know, I would get him into one of the bands that I really loved, and then he kind of, once he gets into somebody, he wants to go even farther than I've ever really dug into it usually. So he would like get all the old CDs, and like, he's like, man, I can't believe this band exists, it's so amazing. And so yeah, it was definitely a lot of fun. And and there's still bands that we're discovering all the time that are, you know, older bands have been around for a long time maybe, but, you know, just never had a chance to, that we never really heard about or got to know. For example, like, we just, probably about a couple years ago, one of the guys in our band is really, really into Joy Division and New Order, and that was a band that was like, we had heard a couple of the songs, but we'd never really, I guess, known that was who was singing them, or, you know, who the artist was, or really got to get into it. But once we started listening to them, New Order's become one of our, you know, one of the bands that we love listening to all the time. And so, yeah, there's always, that's the great thing about music, is there's always something great out there that you've probably never heard. So there's always more to discover.
Okay, is it difficult to be married in a band with someone? Because, I mean, everyone knows the, you know, the stories of Fleetwood Mac and stuff like that. Is it difficult to kind of, like, keep everything together all at the same time? You guys have your non-for-profit as well. So, I mean, you guys are spending immense time together.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
It can be real difficult.
Yeah.
I think that there's a reason why those stories about Fleetwood Mac and all those various artists exist. Yeah, it can be... I feel like it very quickly, it kind of takes, this might not be the best example, but it sort of takes maybe, well, I guess arguably it takes a lifetime of a relationship or a marriage, and it kind of crams it into a first few years of doing something like this together. Because what you have over a long relationship, I think, is you have a series of, kind of what keeps you growing and keeps your relationship evolving and kind of, you know, just changing and sort of growing together, is you have all of these series of experiences and these oftentimes challenges, fights, times where things are amazing, and you experience those, and you have hard times. You have all of this stuff kind of over a relationship's lifetime. And when you're doing something like this, or, I mean, there's many other examples like this, but when you're working in such close proximity to somebody that you're so emotionally involved in, or with, rather, and you're working on something that you're both extremely passionate about, and you happen to be two creative people who are also very stubborn and strong-willed and all that sort of stuff, and you kind of put that all in the same fire, I think what you come out with is sort of like a pressure cooker of a relationship. It's like a... it's an intense time, and it's like if you make it through that, I feel like, then
or learn how to work through that, I guess.
Yeah,
it's always going to keep happening, but
yeah, it's true. But if you can learn how to do that, I feel like it kind of it gives you this feeling that you can almost weather anything. Whereas in a relationship, apart from that sort of intensified situation, you kind of get to that feeling over years of that relationship. You know, as you've gone through years of ups and downs and good and bad and all that sort of stuff, at some point in a marriage or a relationship or whatever it is, you sort of come to that place where you're like, we're in this together. We're not quitting on each other. This is something that we're going to make work no matter what kind of comes our way. And I think doing something like this sort of forces you to get to that point earlier or give up earlier. And our band guys, especially our drummer Adam, who's been with us the longest, he can attest to rehearsals and recording things and other stuff where the relationship, and again, there's no, this is our lives put to music, our relationship is in this stuff. There's no line, there's no work and relationship line where you can say, you know, leave the relationship at home. This is all muddled up together, and he can attest to times when it's been hard. And fortunately, there's also been some really beautiful times at shows. We've had a handful of shows this year, won't be this way, but a handful of shows have been on our anniversary, actually. And those have been made for some special memories and great shows to kind of share with each other and with fans.
It's really, you know, maybe some of what Chuck was trying to say is it feels like a lot of the things that other people can experience in relationships over a really long time, sometimes in like 5.5 weeks out on tour, it's like it feels like we go through that whole gamut of like, you know, highs and lows and struggles and whatever, but it's it's so amazing for us to be able to do this together, you know, to be able to do the thing that we're most passionate about with the person that we love more than, you know, anyone else in the world. So it's pretty incredible, but it's definitely, I think, it, like you said, there's definitely the reasons why, you know, everybody can see that it's probably difficult because, you know, when you're both passionate about something like that, there's going to be things that you disagree about, and that's always going to be hard, but it's definitely an incredible time.
Okay, you guys have released a bunch of EPs, but, you know, your new album, Everything Burns, is essentially, you know, your debut. How long have you guys been technically working towards this, and how does it feel to really have, you know, a full-length piece of work out?
It's been like a long time coming. I mean, I think that the journey started independently a long time ago as far as, like, early recordings and kind of some of the early process. Pap and I met at the end of high school, so we met about 12 years ago or so. At the time, I had been doing a lot of recording on my own, and, you know, again, all the way back then, I can attribute, like, that was the start of all this stuff. But once she and I kind of started doing stuff together, and she started singing background vocals and helping out with the writing and getting more and more involved, I feel like that's when it really began to take shape. So it's been a long time coming. We've done actually, this is definitely Everything Burns is our first album. It's the first thing that we can really say this represents who we are. But along the way, there's been three other full-length records and two or three EPs and a lot of many demos, hundreds of demos that we did just on in Pro Tools in our garage or all kinds of stuff. So there has been tons of recordings. We actually put out a bunch of these recordings for free for fans. We set up a website, kind of a sub-site, called The Backstage. It's backstage.shyrock.net. And on that site, we have a lot of these old recordings, so people can kind of hear where it all started. They can hear recordings that were made like 10 or 12 years ago. They can also hear, we even posted some of the early demos of songs that are on Everything Burns, so you can hear Man Inside, for instance, like the night that we were working on it and that I recorded it on my phone in our kitchen. So we're just now, I think, getting to the place where we're comfortable sort of opening up the doors to where we came from and showing people some of those early demos and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, as far as 2009 was a really big year for you guys. You guys were on a bunch of different television channels and things like that. You also launched your non-for-profit. Do you want to talk about that and what that's all about?
Sure. Yeah, in 2009, that's when we really, I guess, well, actually, Everything Burns is the name of the non-profit organization. It became an official nonprofit in 2009. That's when we really launched it. This last year, actually, though, end of 2010, beginning of 2011, is when we really started doing a lot with the nonprofit. Everything Burns is obviously also the name of the album and the title track. So the concept that kind of birthed the nonprofit, I think, is something that's very dear to us, and it's evident in the music also. The slogan for it is Living for Things That Matter. And the idea behind it, and also the song, is about using our time and living our lives for things that really have an impact and things that really last. So with the organization, what we've been doing is we've been launching what we call EB, or Everything Burns chapters, on high school and college campuses all across the U.S. And on each campus, the Everything Burns organization there, it works to provide very practical ways that high school and college students can get involved in social issues. Because what we found in all of our touring and stuff was that there was all these young people that, because of access to information, because of the internet, everybody knows what's going on the second something happens in all corners of the globe. But what we found pretty consistent was that there was a lot of young people that knew about this stuff, but they didn't really know what to do about it. So they were very knowledgeable and oftentimes passionate about social issues, but they didn't really have an outlet for it. And with Everything Burns, we aimed to kind of remedy that. We wanted to help provide very practical ways that young people can get involved in social issues. And it's been really inspiring and encouraging on our end to see how these students and people have taken it and really made some big things happen.
Okay, as of right now, how many chapters do you know of that have been set up across the country?
We have, I believe, 10 high school chapters going and 2 college chapters. And between those different chapters, they've done all kinds of projects ranging from peer mentorship kind of things, providing school supplies for inner city schools that where students couldn't afford to get school supplies. We've had some malaria projects where people are helping to provide mosquito nets for people in Africa. There was a school this last winter, because of the economy, where there was a family at the school who couldn't afford to pay their bills. Both parents had been let go from their jobs, so the Everything Burns chapter decided to, and a bunch of their furniture and stuff had been repossessed. So the school decided to raise money through the chapter, Everything Burns chapter, to provide furnishing and utilities throughout the whole winter for the family. So there's been a handful of projects like that, and we're just now getting ready to launch some other more international projects that deal with sex trafficking issues and possibly some partnerships with some orphanages also.
Okay, Pat, I was wondering if you would like to speak about your clothing line and how that kind of ties into the music.
Yeah, that's something that, I guess we didn't initially really set out to start a clothing line, but when we were making our band merch, at the very beginning of stuff, we, had always just looked around at a lot of other bands that we didn't really like the merch that most people were making, and when we were starting to make our band merch, we thought, we'd really like to make stuff that we would actually want to wear too, not just like some low quality random T-shirt, but just people were just wearing it because of the band, but something that actually thought looked cool and was comfortable and all that. So a few years ago, we were just starting to try to make some cool band merch, And it ended up, when we, as we were starting to make it, we had one store first first started to ask about stuff here in town in Nashville that asked if they could carry some of our band t-shirts. And some of the other stuff we had, we were making like some fingerless gloves and some hats and some like leather cuffs, you know, trying to do some different band merch. And so this one of the stores here in Nashville wanted to start carrying that stuff. And the, you know, the first couple orders they had, like, they sold out of pretty quickly, and people seemed to really like it, and we were having a lot of fun, you know, making more different stuff. I think just, you know, having a totally different creative outlet than, you know, making music was a lot of fun too. It was something we had never really done before, or, you know, imagined ourselves doing. But the more we got into it, you know, it was kind of fun to think of things that, you know, we wanted to wear for, like, on stage and stuff like that as well, that we didn't, you know, couldn't find out there anywhere. So I think, you know, we're continuing to make some stuff. Actually, right now we're working on a piece for Chuck that he was wanting to wear on stage, and then, you know, if it turns out pretty well, then it's probably something that we'll, you know, we'll manufacture and make, you know, probably just a small run up, but stuff that other people could buy in stores. But yeah, it's been a fun process kind of getting into that, and we, you know, didn't really know anything about the world of design and manufacturing clothing, but it's been really fun to learn a little bit about that and be creative in a different way.
Okay, is there a place online where a fan could go to check out the clothes?
Yeah, the website is irockclothing.com. And
some of the newer stuff, actually, not the newest stuff, we're just getting ready to launch a whole new line and a whole new website and stuff for the fall, but some of the more recent stuff people can see actually on the web store, which is webstore.shyrock.net, and then some of the previous IROC clothing stuff that's all sold out now is on the irockclothing.com site.
Yeah, and actually neither of those sites have, like, you know, have stuff that's very new. Most of it's at least a couple years old or a few years old. But yeah, we're excited about some new stuff that we'll have up there in a few months. So.
Okay, last question for the both of you guys. If you weren't in this band, why would you tell someone to listen to you guys?
Personally, I think I would say something to the effect of, I think that it's because it's, well, I guess I wouldn't want to sound, well, I don't know. I would say, to me, I feel like I'm a fan of our music even now. Like, I enjoy listening to it when we're even in the van or something, which is something that a lot of bands or artists don't typically do, or they aren't typically big fans of their own music, I think. But I really love what we do, and I feel like I find that it's really, there's a lot of really beautiful moments in it, and there's a lot of really sort of special moments in the music. And I think I would tell people that I feel like it's really powerful and really beautiful music, but that it's really honest. And I think that that's something that really draws me into it, and that's the kind of music that I'm really drawn to as a fan of music and as a listener. So I think I would say something to that extent. Pap, what would you say?
Yeah, I mean, I guess for me, when people, you know, ask me, because sometimes in Nashville, you always meet people that are in bands, and whenever you're out, people are like, oh, you're in a band, so, you know, do you like your music? And I'm like, you know, try to talk to him about, you know, the things that I like about it and why I do it. And really, yeah, I guess I would agree with Chuck that, you know, I would say that if people want to listen to something that's really an honest look at our lives and that, you know, the things that we see around us and going on around the world, that's, you know, for more than just entertainment, but that we also really love a great melody and, you know, well-crafted lyrics, then it would be something to check out.